Welcome to Running, the Municipal Election Candidate Forum hosted by Michael Carey and joined by Len Anderson. Tonight, we'll introduce the candidates for Anchorage Assembly and review the area-wide ballot propositions. Now, here's Michael Carey.
Good evening, and thank you very much for joining us. We have a very busy evening tonight, many candidates, and we're going to start with the candidates for Seat A, Assembly Seat A, Debbie Osiander. Debbie, if you'd, Madam Assemblyman, if you'd please make your opening statement, and then we can get to the questions.
Thank you. I grew up military family, never more than 2 or 3 years in one place. So when I met my Alaska husband, and he brought me up here about 34 years ago, I knew that this was going to be my home, and I wanted to settle in. I almost immediately became involved with community councils, community groups, community benefit associations, and when our children got older, I became involved with schools. I spent 10 and a half years on the Anchorage School Board, including multiple years as board president. When I was done with that, I thought, I'm going to take it easy. But I still had strong opinions about what was happening in our city, and I particularly became interested in new changes to land use laws. So I decided to run for assembly. I've served 2 terms, concentrating most of my time on those land use laws. I'd like to continue that effort with one more term on the assembly.
Thank you very much. We'll start the questioning with my partner, Len Anderson.
Well, last summer, me in the back of the room as a reporter, you up front as chair, spent considerable time on one topic. What do you think we learned from the Equal Rights Amendment of last summer?
I think the biggest thing is it's important sometimes to do a little bit of groundwork before you introduce something that is very emotional and very divisive. There were issues that I think could have been handled better if we'd had the opportunity to bring in a widespread group of diverse people to talk them through and come up with positions that weren't polarizing. I still think we can pass an ordinance like this in this town, but not the way it was presented and done last summer.
Thank you. I'm going to follow up with, what are the 2 or 3 most important issues in your district?
Chugiak Eagle River contains most of the undeveloped land still within Anchorage. That's one of the reasons that I've been particularly interested in zoning and land use regulations. I'd like the part of town that I live in to grow in a way that helps our local economy and is also pleasing place to live. I think that that's predominant, just how we'll develop and how we'll grow over the next few years. We continue, though, to have issues with our local service areas. We don't, and haven't, at least in the past, done any local bonding for roads. We've depended on the state, and that, over the next few years, is going to be a conversation that we're going to have. Can we continue to do that with the state revenue forecasts the way they are? Big questions for us.
There have been, you've, as you said, spent a great deal of time on Title 21 and our new building codes and guidelines. Now, recently, there's been quite some criticism from the Building Owners and Management Association, the builders in general, managers, said it should be slowed down at least. Some have even said scrapped and started over. Your reaction?
Well, it's unfortunate because it's such a huge and complex topic that it's easily misunderstood. I went to the BOMA meeting, and it was a bit frustrating because people got pieces, and sometimes pieces that weren't even in the code language that are being proposed, and extrapolated that to say this is what's going to happen. The other thing that I've been telling people is, we have radically improved this thing. We're on the 4th draft of it, and we're getting close to a product, I think, that's workable, but it's not there yet. I think that there's some justifiable questions that have to be answered about economic impact on some of the sections. That's been the principal concern from the BOMA group, is what is this going to do to development costs? Is this going to, particularly if I'm an owner of industrial property, really cause me to see an economic hardship with the taking? situation in terms of the use possibilities for my land. I think we've got some work to do, but we've come a long ways, and boy, I'm not ready to scrap it right now.
Thank you. Once again, I'm Michael Carey here with Lynn Anderson and Assembly Member Debbie Osiander, who's a candidate again for Seat A. I'd like to ask you, nominally our elections for the Assembly are nonpartisan, yet we frequently see what looks like partisan behavior. How do you explain the discrepancy?
Well, I believe that fundamentally the job is nonpartisan, and on most issues we are. If you look at how we treat street improvements and potholes and reports on how we staff firefighting and police, we look at it on an individual and very nonpartisan basis. The difficulty is when you have maybe an issue that is more traditionally associated with a partisan stance, it maybe brings out in people a position where they could be viewed as Democrat or Republican. I mean, I have been viewed as being aligned with the Sullivan cap, but I'm not very involved in party politics, and in fact was nonpartisan most of my years here in the state of Alaska. But if I fundamentally believe that you live within your means and you don't raise taxes when the economy's bad, then I acquire a label. And it's an easy way, I think, for people to figure out who is who on the Assembly. And it's sort of a natural breakdown oftentimes when you get an issue that's difficult.
Thank you.
How important do you think the Kinnick Arm Bridge project is to the development of Anchorage? And how much public, state, or local funding or backing of the project should be allowed?
I know that Anchorage is going to continue to grow. I fundamentally believe that we're going to have a robust South Central economy here that isn't just limited to Anchorage, but is going to include folks in the valley. In that light, I believe that we need to form transportation hubs and infrastructure that connects us. I also think that in the long run, you don't want a major city that only has one road that connects it to the rest of the state, not only because of economic needs, but basic safety in case there is any kind of a natural disaster. So I support a bridge. I think that it's good for the state and it's good for us in the long run. The crux of the matter is going to be how we pay for it. We have all along said that we don't want to put local money in this, and a lot of the selling for it has been the private partnerships that are supposed to come in and provide the bulk of the financing. It's going to be very interesting. We've been told that by October or November, we're going to see a financing package. And I know that we'll look real closely on that. If it doesn't work, if it doesn't pencil out, it's not going to happen.
Thank you. The property tax is the basis for Anchorage's revenue, fundamentally. Should the municipality seek alternative revenues, and if so, what would they be?
I absolutely believe we need to diversify. It is, if you look at our tax structure in comparison with the rest of the country, overall we're not bad, but the proportion that's paid by property taxpayers is high, reflective of other communities. I have supported and worked for alternatives. My first term on the Assembly, we spent a good deal of time looking at alternatives and actually proposed a sales tax that would come in place of property tax. As you know, that went over like a lead balloon. And I was, I guess, naive because I thought that if we articulated the position well and really gave it a good talk out through the community that there would be support. But there seems to be a real mistrust of government ever putting in a new tax and then concurrently reducing an existing one. We have looked, of course, at the hotel bed tax. We've looked at the cigarette tax. And I'm more than open to continue to look at alternatives. It's difficult right now, of course, with the economic climate the way it is, to even talk about new taxes when people are struggling so much.
Lynn?
Well, sticking to budget, then, the mayor has predicted an even tighter year or an equally tight year with further reductions. Mm-hmm. Next, in 2011, millions. How would you deal with it? What would you, I mean, I realize the mayor proposes, the assembly disposes. what would you be looking for in those, in his actions?
I've said several times over the last few months that I think it's going to be very difficult, this next budget cycle, because the deficit isn't as clearly identifiable. I think the mayor, though, makes a very good point when he talks about the need for a sustainable budget, one where revenues match expenditures and you have a sense that you can do what you plan to do in the future and not hope that the revenues will be there. I'm going to listen real closely. I may disagree with him. I did a few times this last budget cycle because I also believe that there are some fundamental services that the city needs to provide to its citizens.
Okay. Next question. Are we spending about the right amount on police protection?
I think so. During my term on the assembly, we've added 60 new officers. Some of the debate during this particular campaign has been about the presence or absence of academies. However, the police chief, the fire chief, and the mayor have all told us that they have a different way that they'd like to propose to deal with that problem. I'm eager to hear what they've got to say. I think that we absolutely need to have a top-notch and well-staffed fire department and police department. And at this time, I think we're in reasonably good shape. It's going to be an interesting conversation over the next few months to see how we go forward, though.
What do you think is the Assembly's role in improving the local economy or fostering the local economy?
Well, I think that's multifaceted. As you know, we partner with, say, the Anchorage Convention and Visitors Bureau. They get about a third of the bed tax, and as such, they bring in tourists and sort of serve as the advocate for our city. We work closely with the Chamber, Anchorage Economic Development Corporation, to try to get new industry. Frequently, I've heard, particularly since I'm spending so much time on Title 21, that land use regulations can also strangle economic development. And it's something that concerns me, and I'm trying to listen real closely to identify what in particular the issue is on that point. Part of my job on the Assembly is to do just that, is to listen to folks who have specific concerns and try to weigh them and filter them to make sure that we're not doing anything to actually hamper the economy. I think all of us have a real profound concern about the situation we've been in here in the state and nationally. We want our city to grow. We want people to have jobs. We want this to be a robust city.
We're running short of time here, but I wanted to ask, curbside recycling has spread to new parts of Anchorage. How's that working, and what's the public response been like?
Well, I think it's a wonderful thing to do. I was part of a group that really spent some real time on that. The difficulty for us, of course, is we're so isolated, we're having to pay to ship all that recycling down to Seattle. So it's not something that's saving us money by any means. Generally, people have been very positive. You know, they come up from outside and they say, why isn't it here? I've had it every other city I've ever lived. And so we need to, I think, to work very hard to make it pay for itself a little better. We've been trying to encourage local businesses that use products. I saw the Home Builder Show last week, recycled glass countertops. And I went up to the guy and I said, where's your business? You know, how can we help you? That's the kind of thing I think we need to do more of to make it pay for itself. Right now, it's not, but it's close.
Okay. Thank you very much. We're running short on time here. You have about 1 minute for a closing statement.
I am running for re-election for my third and final term on the Assembly. I would very much like to keep working at not only Title 21, the land use regulations, but to work through the budget. I've been doing some local efforts to try to look at alternatives for a bus service that we lost in Eagle River. We've also been doing what we can to get community policing going, and I think all of those efforts, I'd like to put in a little more time and see that effort come to fruition. Please vote next Tuesday, or actually you can vote now in many places in town. Again, this is Debbie Osiander, Chugiak Eagle River, a little bit of Muldoon, and the military bases. Thanks.
Thank you, Debbie Osiander. We'll be right back with the candidates for Assembly Seat D. Don't go away.